No, that's right. There was no. We knew what we were doing. As a matter of fact, we told Bert Baker, who was an automobile dealer on the corner of Grand River and Livernois. And he had a big sign that said, "You got $50, I've got a car." And we went in and said, "We got $50. We want to see." Actually, it was not my car, because there was only one of us in our crowd that was old enough to buy a car. And the fellow's name was Lloyd Penner. And Lloyd Penner was an orphan who had moved in with Mike Foley, with Mike and on the next block, Mickey and Jerry Foley. And the Foley boys, they picked up Lloyd Penner, I guess because Mike Foley worked at the Detroit Times and he knew, and he met Penner. And why or how, but Penner moved in with him. And he was 21, or at least he had proof to indicate that he was 21. And I was only 18. But I was the only one who had a decent job, and I had $75. So I put up all the money, and we took title in Penner's name. So, but everybody knew it was my car, regardless of the fact that the title was in Penner's name. So, anyway... we had a lot of fun trying to get the car going, and actually did get it running a few times in that that year. Come back to the car in a bit. We sophomore year. I'm still, even in college, being involved in the college version of the Hearst Oratorical Competition, and I think I won at the University of Detroit maybe once during that time. But I was anxious to go right to law school, and in fact, I did start law school in the fall of 1949 after 2 years of pre-law study. So I was then 20 years of age. I remember I'd worked in the stone yard, saved my money. I was... fall of 49, already dating Pauline Weinberger, whose nickname is Polly, and who has been my wife now for 39 years. So we were dating, and I went down to the Penobscot Building. I wanted to get a job as a law clerk. So I went to the Penobscot Building. I didn't know any lawyers. My uncle Emmett Sullivan was a lawyer by training, but he worked for a bank. He worked for the City National Bank. And he didn't believe that anybody could make a living practicing law. His recollection from the Depression was that was a wrong thing to do. And he didn't really have any particular connections, or so it seemed. And in any case, in our family, you never went to relatives to ask them for anything. So I went to the Penobscot Building, and I stood there in the lobby, and I looked under O, because I figured there's going to be some Irish guy, O'Malley, O'Toole, or something, and I'm going to walk in and say, "I'm Tom Brennan. Going to the University of Detroit Law School, I'd like a job as a clerk." And he's going to say, "Hey, Brennan, you sound like a good guy, and I'm going to get hired." So I go upstairs. There are no O's. There's no lawyers that start with an O, but right after the O's comes R, and there is a lawyer by the name of Roberts, and I said, "That's good enough." So I go upstairs to Roberts' office, and I walk in, as I'm going through the door, I notice the name Abbott is also on the door, something Abbott and Roberts and so on. So I say to the young lady, "I'm here to see Mr. Roberts." And she said, "Mr. Roberts is not here." And I was very quick. I said, "Well, then I'd like to talk to Mr. Abbott." And she said, "Who shall I say is calling?" I said, tell him that Mr. Brennan is here to see him." So she said, "Have a seat," and I sat. A little while later, she ushered me in, and behind this large desk was a lovely white-haired gentleman, somewhat pudgy, a very benign face, by the name of Arthur Abbott. And Arthur Abbott, I soon learned, had been an adjunct teacher at the University of Detroit for 25 years, ran the Abbott Bar Review course. It was his adventure, and took a great interest and a very kindly interest in me. He didn't have any clerkships there at the law firm, but he picked up the telephone and called the Detroit Bar Association Law Library, and he was on, because he was on the committee of the bar that ran the library. He spoke to the librarian, and anyway, she agreed to interview me for a job in the library. And shortly thereafter, I was working in the Detroit Bar Association Library for the magnificent sum of 50 cents an hour, putting books away and learning how to use the library. In any case, Arthur Abbott's son, John, later was the dean of the university, or the Detroit College of Law, for many years. So that was my first exposure to the Abbott family. So anyway, I worked at the Detroit Bar Association Library in my freshman year in law school. Then in the summer between my freshman and sophomore or junior year in law school, I worked at the Stone Yard again. I left the bar library and went back to the Stone Yard. That summer, I also had a second job. I worked at the Stone Yard from 7 in the morning until about 3:30 in the afternoon, and then I dashed out, got on a bus, and got across town to around Cass Avenue someplace, where I picked up my truck from the Ludington News Agency. And I drove a truck for Ludington News Agency on the afternoon shift, delivering and picking up a film from drugstores, particularly in the Downriver area. So I can remember there was only a driver's seat in the truck. And on a couple of occasions, my girlfriend, Polly, would go with me, and she had to sit on a box that we would bring along that was there and ride along. And that was a big date. She'd ride along with me in the truck, and we'd go pick up films on a Wyandotte and maybe stop for a cup of coffee or something. But